So with the possibility that my plan will be rejected, I offer these simple but powerful observations. Number one is to determine to develop the habit of visiting the Scriptures. You say, well, you could say that. Well, yeah, let's say that I know that I need to read the Bible, so I'm going to do it. So if I can get you there, now all of a sudden, where? See, because my next statement is this, and I think it's on your sheet. I lost your sheet already. I listed these questions, and I put them there because I'm going to answer these questions here in a few minutes. How often should I read? How much time? Where to read? What to read? And I can't understand what I'm reading. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Or maybe I'm barking up the wrong tree today. Okay? Maybe I should have everybody bow their head and say, who's interested? And let everybody else go home, right? I don't know, but watch this. Here's what I'm going to do. How often should I read? Now, I know what you're saying. Every day. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to be regular. That's all I want you to do. You say, well, you're a panty waist. Well, my waist is not fit for panties. I know that, okay? Okay? It's a lot bigger than that, okay? I am not a liberal either, okay? I think I'm very traditional and very conservative, okay? But here's the thing. I want you to be regular, okay? What does that mean? Well, how much time? I told you about the guy. Remember two sermons ago I sat down, the kid was in Bible college, and we were stressed all the time about spending time in the Word, spending time in the Word. He thought he was going to read so many chapters a day, he wasn't going to sleep until that was. He got so frustrated, so discouraged, he goes to the professor's office, sits there and falls asleep while he's talking to him because he was sleep deprived because he thought for sure that he could set this goal of doing this. And here's the thing, folks. You know, I know you need to set a goal. But I want your goal to be that you'll open the Word of God and that you'll read something that you understand. First and foremost. Can I get an amen? Okay, so, do you say, well, how about if you got several minutes, do it. Now, for people who love to read, this isn't any problem. They say, oh, I just love to read. And there are people here who love to read. I wish I was one of them. Okay? I do love to read, but it comes in spurts. If you would have had the week that I had this week, you didn't get a whole lot of time to read. Okay? Just that case. Sometimes you have more time. But I want to talk to you about that. This is the ultimate starting point. We have times when we are pretty consistent, and then there's times when we falter. The overall emphasis that I want to place before you and me this morning is the fact that we are, you are, I am moving forward. So let's just forget about everything up till now. And you say, okay, what am I going to do? Let's say by the end of the week that you looked into your Bible twice. And you read for a total of maybe 20 minutes. Now you might think, well, there's five other days that I failed, but there was two that you had the victory. And in my book, that's moving forward. Come on now, amen? You say, well, Pastor, you know, I spend an hour every day. Where's my credit? That's your credit goes with him. Amen? Okay? There's too many people who stand up and they say, that's what I'm doing. And then when you get into their life, it's like, well, yeah. So anyways, example. I was motivated by a message and opened my Bible, started to read Genesis 1. At the end of the week, I'd only read the first chapter and only spent one other day reading. Is that a success or failure? That's a success. Yet people will say that's a failure. That's a success. You subjected yourself to the Word of God twice that week, that you would not have done that last week. Do you see how practical this is? I hope that I don't bore you. I say success. Don't let it discourage you when you fail. I spent 2 days in the Word I hadn't done before. I had this week to look forward to. Even if I have to review what I read, it is still moving in the right direction. Now, I'm reading this to you because I didn't get it out of book. I put this down on paper because I get lost in my messages, and you know that. You know what? I want you to remember this. Little by little, bit by bit. Who is our enemy? The preacher or Satan? Yeah. Who is our enemy? Satan. Is Satan going to encourage you to be in the Word of God or discourage you from being in the Word of God? Point made, right? That's right. Who's our enemy? The world. The world sees no value in God's Word. They make fun of it all the time. They quote verses that aren't even in the Bible. As a matter of fact, politicians do that wonder. You know, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians walked into a bar, right? You think they're telling a joke. They try to act spiritual with people. Right? Come on now. Amen? So anyways, I apologize about the bar joke. Watch. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 6 says this. And it would be a good verse to put on your mirror, to put in your Bible, to look at every day. But it's like this. For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Come on now. Amen? That's where we're at. Okay, I already talked about how often should I read, how much time. How about where and what to read? Listen to this. These are all panty waist answers. Well, it all depends. Depends on the individual. And will change constantly, absolutely, for sure. You say, well, Pastor, shouldn't I designate a place in my home to sit and read my Bible, have good light and a pen and paper and write that down? Absolutely, if you want to do that. That doesn't work for everybody. You say, I can't believe it. Well, I'll tell you what. When I became a Christian, Karen and I, we went over here to the Bible Depot. This is 1975. We bought our first Bible together. And we sat and we read it. And it made not a lick of sense. You said, because our pastor said you need to get your Bible, you need to read it. And so we'd open up, we'd read. And I'm thinking, where is this bolt of lightning that is going to hit me and I'm going to be excited and I'm going to charge hell with a squirt gun? And it's just like, this isn't exciting. It would have been exciting if somebody would have told me some passages to read. It's just like, well, I think I'm going to read here. And it's just like, well, that don't make sense. And so we spent a long time trying to figure out what to read. And I don't know if we ever got there as young Christians. You say, well, but that's true. But you know what? Here's what, and I wrote this out once again. It says, but I remember my first job as a married person. We would meet in our vehicles out at this farm. And I don't know, Barry Huffman. You remember Howard Heintzman, don't you? I worked for him, and we parked up at his barn, and I had a blue Volkswagen, and I would sit in there, and I had my Bible, and I had to wait for him to come out. We had to get in the vehicles, and I had probably 10, 15 minutes, and it was then that I began to open the Word of God. And then, little by little, bit by bit, it started to make sense. And I'm thinking, oh, okay. And then when I went to Wood Mode, it was like, boy, you get up and you're going in at 5 for overtime. Right, Tommy? Because I used to help Tommy on overtime. That's why we're good friends. He funneled all that money in my pocket. So. And then you work till 5:30. You think, and then people say, well, if I go to 5:30, I get up at 3 because I read the Word of God religiously. It's just like, good for you. I don't. You know, I heard John R. Rice say one time it was cold in the motel room where they were staying, and Jack Howells was down beside the bed on his knees praying, and the heat didn't work, and it was freezing in there, and John R. Rice lays in his bed, and he goes, that's why I keep prayed up, brother. Pulled himself under the covers and went to bed. Now, you might say you're promoting mediocrity. I am promoting life. So here's the thing. But I remember sitting in my car. It was a blue Volkswagen Beetle waiting to start work, reading my Bible. It began to make sense. So what to read? See, this is the main issue. When you start figuring out what to read, all the other things will come in place. And so if you want to write these down, I have some suggestions this morning. Okay? I spent 3 years teaching 11 chapters in Genesis. If you will start with Genesis 1 and read to chapter 11 and stop there. Wow. That is powerful, folks. And it will be easy to digest. Okay? It will be easy to digest. How about this? Old Testament book? Read the book of Jonah. You say, well, I can't. Well, I'll tell you what. You read the book of Jonah. Short book. Lays out in story form. You will be able to follow that story. You will be reading the Word of God. You will be subjecting yourself to the Word of God. Now let's go to the New Testament. Okay? You read the book of Matthew. Matthew's a little long, but it's going to tell you about different parables. It has the Sermon on the Mount on. It has the Beatitudes in there. You will find passages of Scripture that you're very familiar with, but you will also be subjected to great spiritual truth that Jesus is teaching. That's recorded for us. Then I would jump to the book of John. Once again, it's a little longer, don't get me wrong. And then, you say, okay, well, I don't want to do that. Here's a good one. My favorite book of the Bible, believe it or not, is the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, 4 chapters long. What a powerhouse of a book of the Bible. See, what happens is we do this. We say, okay, Pastor, you've convinced me. I need to get regular in the Word, okay? So you tomorrow morning you get up, and I didn't go over this list, and you think, oh, no. See, I got the same problem. Where do I start? Well, I'll tell you what. You take Philippians, 4 chapters. You say, well, you ought to read that in one setting. It takes 20, 25 minutes to read it. But if you only got 5 minutes, just start. And then here's another one. How about you got these epistles. Oh, well, first of all, I want to say about the book of Acts. The book of Acts is just so powerful. It lays out in a dialogue where a story unfolds. It's great history, but great power. And you can stop anywhere and pick up. It's almost like you're watching your favorite sitcom, and it says, to be continued. You can even have an emergency and drop off for a couple of days and pick right back up. How about this? And then you got the epistles. You know, we got Galatians, Ephesians. Now, I already said Philippians. Colossians. Just we have taught through Colossians on Sunday morning for a month and a half. See, I'm giving you a list, okay? I hope you write these down, because what happens is once you get through the list, you say, well, what happens if I get to the end of the week and get through the list? If you get through that list by the end of the week, you call me. I'll take you out to eat. I know someone's going to call me. Okay? I'll send you a gift card. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I hesitated about even talking about any of this stuff because it is so basic. But you know what? Here's the thing. If there's anything that Christians struggle with, it's the basics. Time in the Word. Because time in the Word, see, time in the Word means that your pastor doesn't know it. Time in the Word means that your Sunday school teacher doesn't know it. Time in the Word is time in the Word between you and the Lord. Me and the Lord. Amen? You don't get any accolades from anybody because, hey, Pastor, I read my Bible every day this week. You tell me that and I'll rejoice with you. Okay? So, here's the thing. Okay? I wrote these down. 1st and 2nd Peter are just grand slam. We talked about 1st and 2nd Peter in Sunday school today. And then I'll get over this list, and then you got the little book of Jude. The little book of Jude is just so powerful. And then you got James. He said, well, why don't you talk about Isaiah? Isaiah is a lot, buddy. That's a heavy-duty meal. But you'll get there someday. Nothing wrong with that. I'm telling you, this is where we start. Now, you say, well, why do you have this here? Well, I did this here so that you would watch and say, what in the world is he going to do with that? See, sometimes I just do that stuff, right? But what I want us to realize is this. As you say, now, here's what people say. I'm answering the last question. I can't understand what I'm reading, right? Do you experience that any time in your life? Do you experience that any time in your life? Well, yeah, we all do. So anyways, I'm going to show you that I am a mathematician. Okay? Okay, so. Now, when you come to church on a Sunday morning, right? Are you with me? It's almost 10 of, and I promise you we'll be done here. Sometime. I apologize. Okay? Now, because I am the illustrious pastor, and I have been here, let's say that I'm reminding everybody now, in November, I am here 9 years. Okay? Wow, that's a long time. I went from having red hair to white hair in 9 years. My waistline has stayed about the same, although I wished it was smaller. Just little tidbits, in case you were wondering. Okay? I probably preach 45 Sundays out of the year. Wouldn't you say that's pretty close? I get 4 weeks vacation. I try to stretch that into 6 weeks vacation, maybe 8 weeks vacation. Hint, hint, hint. Right? Hints all over the place. But because of sickness, maybe I go on a missions trip. I went on a missions trip this last year, so I wasn't here for 2 Sundays. Blah, blah, blah. Right? 45 Sundays. That means this, is that if you only came to the Sunday morning service that hopefully I explained 45 different passages of the Bible in my message, where you were given the privilege of having a handout sheet where you could make notes, because I have just put the main things down there. So that means that you're way ahead on the curve of understanding. You have at your disposal, if you kept the sheets, and I don't care if you don't, it makes good fire starter and great place to draw stuff. That means this, is that you will have a grasp of 45 different passages. That's pretty good. Now, if you have been in this ministry for 9 years, you have got a grasp on 405 passages of Scripture that you could open your Bible to and review, where hopefully that I gave the context and pulled scriptural principles out of it, because that's my style of teaching. Now, if you are here Sunday night, that translates into 810. That's incredible, right? If you avail yourself of Wednesday night, I'd say I can't double that, so I got 1,215 different passages that you will have a grasp on. See, a lot of times what happens is I don't think we give ourselves any credit. Yeah, I read passages all the time, and you'll hear it when I do this. Okay? I'll say, wow, look at this passage. Look at this verse. And you'll say, well, people come to me and say, I never saw that in that verse. See, I'm not making up truth. I'm just mining it out there, because it's line upon line, precept upon precept. And what we do is then we begin to understand God's Word. And guess what? It's the same old thing. I'm not here to get you to read your Bible every day. I want you to read your Bible with a desire to understand it. Because if you read something 50 or 7 days a week that you don't understand, it's not going to do anything. If anything, you're going to say, it's just the same old boring stuff. Well, it's not. It's powerful. It unleashes in our lives. So, see, and number two is this, as we move on, you just have to be creative with the opportunities. See, a lot of times people say, I'll tell you what, brother, first thing I do, I get up in the morning, I read the Word of God. I get up in the morning and figure out if I'm alive yet. That's pretty true. I get out of bed thinking, I wonder if my knees are going to hold me up today. Come on now, amen? That would probably be that I am the epitome of not a morning person. Okay? But I did find out, when I worked at Wood Moat, I thought it was interesting. I thought, well, there was times that if I just had a Bible with me, I could read it. And so I took a Bible where I worked and I put it in my personal workspace. And I had two. I had on, if we worked 10 hours, we had a 10-minute break in the morning, 10-minute break in the afternoon. We had 30 minutes for lunch. Well, I don't know about you. If you take 30 minutes to eat lunch, you ain't hungry. Takes me 10 minutes, buddy. Okay? Sandwich, bag of chips, that goes down. And then everybody else in my shop would just lay down and sleep. You know what? There was an earthquake through the 90s when I was at Wood Mode. The biggest thing that stirred up my shop was not the fact that I was a Christian, the fact that I read a book. So much so that they put a sign over my locker, book inside, caution, book inside. I loved it. I was sitting there. I got to tell you this story. And I know if you think I'm wasting your time, I do apologize. Don't get mad at me too bad. But I was sitting there, and we actually had a bench that they made. And I was sitting there, and I was reading this book because I knew that it was a good time because I wasn't doing anything else, just waiting to go back to work. And they talked about hunting. They talked about their work that they were doing. And I just thought, well, I could sit here and just read a book. And so we had three of us sitting on this bench, and I'm sitting in the middle, and I'm reading this book. And I noticed that my boss sits down next to me, and I catch him out of the corner of my eye. He's reading what I'm reading. I'm sitting there. And of course, I'm just a smart aleck, okay? I am. And I don't do so much being a pastor because people leave the church when you're a smart aleck. But I'm sitting there reading, and everything's real quiet. And I said, let me know when you're done. I'll turn the page. I ain't reading that. I ain't even looking at that. Oh, I know you think I'm having way too much fun at this. But you know what? I found that those 10 minutes sometimes is all I needed to give myself some nourishment. See, all you got to do is be creative. See, the older I get, I have an affair going on with my doctor. You know, I go in, we talk all the time, and it's just like, oh, man, what are you doing? You know what I found out? Did you ever go to the waiting room, check in, you sit there, nothing to do? Just take a small Bible with you. Take a book with you. Sit there and you read a book. You say, they have those magazines. They don't even have them anymore. Now they got TV. You sit there. Who wants to watch The View? Not me. Okay? I'm sorry. If you watch The View, that's okay with you. I don't. So I take a book. I open it up. Pretty soon it's like, David, wow, that didn't take long. Then I go back and then the doctor forgets I'm there. And I'm sitting there 20 minutes. And you know what? I don't know how many pictures you can sit and look at and read about your esophagus. Right? Tendonitis. You know, it's just like, I got all that stuff memorized. I'll never forget. One more story and I'm done. And we'll be out of here, okay? I promise. I was going out to Mount Pleasant Mills. Dr. Gene Reisinger was my doctor. Wonderful guy. I was reading a book on the Holy Spirit by Charles Stanley, because I realized that I wanted to read that, and I would take it with me. I had it in my car when I was sitting in I went to the doctor. I'm sitting there, and he comes in, and I'm sitting there reading this. I closed it up, and he said, hey, what are you reading? This? We just had the most wonderful conversation about spiritual things. And not only does it give opportunities to tell people about Jesus, but it has the opportunities that I was learning. Now, don't do it while you're driving. If you do it while you're driving, I'm not responsible for that. But here's the thing. And really, the last point goes back to the Proverbs passage. A just man falls seven times, yet rises up again. So many times, as believers, we are challenged about our relationship to the Word of God. And over and over and over, I hear it from people that say, boy, you know, I just struggle with that. Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. I struggle with that too. I wanted to share these things with you because you know what? We don't have to struggle. There are books that we can read. There are books in the Bible that we can read that will nourish us and transform our lives, because all the Word of God is important. But sometimes we just need guidance where to start, where to maintain, and where to go from here.